This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama taslima katiran ila yawmiddin. Amma ba'd, inshallah today or tonight, February 1st, 2022, corresponding to the 28th of Jumad al-Akhir, 1443, we commence with our 13th lesson of the explanation of Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala. And tonight's topics, there are four major topics that we're going to cover today, inshallah ta'ala. The major resurrection, the scale, that is the mizan, the records of your deeds, the dawaween, and the reckoning, al-hisab. So these are covered. I just want to remind everybody that Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah is a summary of the creed of, or some of the creed of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is not going into a lot of detail on these topics. As a result, we're also going to avoid a lot of detail on the topics, though we need to provide a little bit more than what was actually written in the text, inshallah ta'ala, and kind of open up those the statements that Shaykh al-Islam makes, so that we make sure that we're understanding every point as we go along, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So we covered the last time al-Iman bil-Yawm al-Akhir and the meaning of al-Iman bil-Yawm al-Akhir, which is to believe in everything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us of and will happen after death. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us, yani, that is, from the Quran, from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or we can say it's a comprehensive term for everything, for belief in everything, for faith in everything that happens after death. So what does it mean to have faith in the hereafter? It is a comprehensive term for faith in everything that happens after death. Tayyib, what's the difference then between, what is the difference between the hereafter and the last day? So a hereafter, right. So al-qiyamatu al-sughra, or the hereafter itself, al-akhirah, begins as soon as a person dies. Whereas yawm al-akhir is after the last day, it's once the resurrection happens, right? And that time period between when you die and the resurrection is called what? Al-barzakh, right. What did we cover last week? From faith, okay, what about the barzakh? What did we cover?
What
happens
inside of it.
What start? Where what does it start with? The angel pulls out the soul of the believer and so on. So and then what? So what happens once the person is put in the grave? What is that questioning called? What's it called? Fitnatul Qabr. That's what we that was the first part of what we covered. That is the first part of what we believe. Yani, obviously, we believe in the angel of death. We believe that the angel takes the soul. In terms of what's covered in the books of Aqidah in general, it starts off with Fitnatul Qabr. So we talk about the trial of the grave. A person is questioned in his or her grave. Then we, after the fitna, what happens?
You either pass or don't.
So there's either bliss, right, or there is punishment. And we talked about the proofs for both of those. And how do we know this? Do we know this because you can open up the grave and you can see a person, and they, mashallah, they smell like Jannah and so on? Now, mind you, and I don't want to get too deep into this because then we can open up a door that would be difficult to close. One of the most extensive books on this subject of the hereafter is At-Tadhkira by Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah. Tadhkira fi Ahwal al-Mawta wal-Akhira, that's the full title, Allahu A'lam. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that, yani, some of the people of knowledge that you would not doubt their statements about, that they have actually witnessed many people being punished in their graves. A lot tired of Adam. Play. Point being is this. We covered last week, fitnatul qabr, which means what? As soon as you hear it, fitna means what?
Trial.
The trial, which means what's happening? Person is being questioned. They are questioned about what? And this is the, subhanAllah, the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He lets you know the questions before the test. Right? Nah. مَنْ رَبُّكْ وَمَا دِينُكْ وَمَنْ نَبِيُّكْ. And it doesn't matter that you know how to say the answer here in this life, right? It is about تَثْبِيتُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah Azza wa Jal makes firm those who believe with the firm word in this life and in the next life. Mashi. Today, again, what four subjects are we covering today? I'm cheating for you. Bismillah. Fadl. Memorize it. Tayyib. Al-Qiyam al-Kubra. Amazing resurrection. What else? The scale. Mizan. The Waween. And the reckoning. Tayyib. Bismillah. Fadl, Sheikh. This is page 87, by the way.
The resurrection. This trial will be followed by bliss or punishment until the greater resurrection, when the souls will be returned to their bodies and the rising, which Allah has told us of in His book and upon the tongue of His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and about which all Muslims agree will occur.
Right. So this is one of those things about which all Muslims agree. That is that there is no dispute amongst the ummah at all, no matter what sect they're from. There is no dispute amongst the ummah that there will be a greater resurrection. That is, that there will be a ba'ath, that there will be that rising al-qiyamah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us of in the book.
Mankind, naked, barefooted, and uncircumcised, will rise from their graves to stand before the Lord of the worlds. The sun will come close to them, and they will be bridled in sweat.
So this happens after the second blowing in the horn. Again, Shaykh al-Islam does not talk about that. We're mentioning it here. Write it down. The second blowing in the horn by which angel? Israfil. Israfil. And that angel, al-Halimi, rahimahullah, he says that by consensus of the scholars of Islam, that it is Israfil who will blow into the horn. So there are several issues that have to be covered here. The first is, what is the proof, right, that there will be a major resurrection? Because Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, only mentioned one proof here. What proof did he mention? Tayyib, hadith. There's a hadith there?
Yeah,
168. And Shaykh al-Islam didn't mention 168. That's the translator. That's the translator. Al-Ijma'. All right. Listen, folks. You got to pay attention here, right? Because everything about the hereafter, it's only one way to know it. How is that?
Revelation.
Right. Now, there are things that make sense, right? There are things that make sense, even about the hereafter. Yeah, I mean, rationally, it makes sense that the people who do good, they go to Jannah. People who don't do good, that fits the rationale of the human being, right? But how do we affirm that? We only affirm that through revelation, because this is part of al-iman bil what? Bil ghaib, part of belief in the unseen. And we don't make qiyas, and you can't analogize the unseen to the seen. Okay? Right. Mashi. So, again, we need to establish the proofs. We also will mention these hadith where the Prophet affirms or has said those things about man being raised naked, barefoot, and uncircumcised, and the sun coming close to them. Fadal, Sheikh.
Quran.
Gotta read the left side first.
I'm sorry. Evidence for the major resurrection.
Right, so we can start with evidence. Now.
Quran, Al-Hajj, 22nd surah, first two ayats.
Fadal, open it up. Open up your masahif. Surah Al-Hajj. Surah Al-Hajj. Tayyip, somebody read for us. Bismillah. All right, somebody translate.
Oh, mankind, fear your Lord, and fear your Lord. Indeed, the convulsion of the final hour is a terrible thing.
Mm.
On the day you see it, every nursing mother will be distracted from that child. She was nursing, and every pregnant woman will abort her pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see the people appearing intoxicated while they are not intoxicated.
No.
But the punishment of Allah is severe.
طيب, إن زلزلة الساعة. In the zalzala to sa'a. What's sa'a?
The final hour.
The final. No. So the establishment of, like, when the man came to the Prophet, the Bedouin, he came to the Prophet, he said, Meta sa'a. When is the hour? He's talking about Yom al Qiyamah. No. He's not asking him when he's personally going to die and when his hereafter begins. He's asking, when is the ba'ath, the hour? Right. طيب الحاقة. طيب. What is الحاقة? Inevitable reality. Inevitable reality. طيب. That is a very precise linguistic translation of الحاقة. It's referring to يوم القيامة. There's so many, so many different ayat in the Quran, that deal with the resurrection. طيب القارعة. ما القارعة؟ ما أدراك؟ القارعة ها طيب the fourth ayah and the fifth ayah right so when people like dispersed moths right and the jibal will be like that wool like that cotton it almost looks like cotton candy. Right? It looks like the when they spin the cotton candy. So the point is it's the Quran, it's throughout the Quran. The Sunnah, there's a couple hadith that we're gonna mention now, inshallah. Consensus, the Ijma' has been mentioned by a number of the scholars, not the least of whom is Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, who just mentioned it in what preceded in Al-Aqid al-Wasitiyyah. Revelation to previous nations. What's that mean?
Books that they received.
Right. Books that came to the previous prophets. Okay. Does that mean that we're supposed to go read books that that are attributed to the prophets of the past and try to come up with evidence? No. But we have in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to some of the prophets of the past Al-Iman bil-Yawm al-Akhir, right? And it's there. It's in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that to Musa and Ibrahim and other prophets. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and others. Tayyip, reasoning. Al-Aql. And this is mentioned by several of the scholars, including if you go back to Sheikh Uthaymeen's Sharh, rahimahullah, which is available in English. That's why I'm mentioning it here. If you go back to that, you'll see that he mentions Al-Aql. That there has to be a resurrection. Why?
Because the things in this world are not just all.
Yes. Because if we believe that man, right, is accountable, right, is liable for his deeds and accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we know that much of that account does not take place in this life, then it has to be a next life where that account will take place. In any event, whether somebody agrees or disagrees with that reasoning, the proof from the Quran and Sunnah are clear. Alhamdulillah. Tayyib. People's condition after resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Taffifin, يَوْمَ يَكُومُ النَّاسِ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ يَوْمَ يَكُومُ النَّاسِ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ So the day when people will stand for the Lord of Al-Alameen. Aisha Fadla Sheikh. This is one of those ahadith that talk about, that prove that there is a qiyamah. Fadla. Hadith of Aisha.
Bil-Inglisi, Anna. Aisha reported, radiallahu anha, that she heard Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, in English, people will be gathered on the day of resurrection, barefoot, naked, and uncircumcised. I said, Allah's Messenger, will men and women be together looking at one another? Upon this, Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wa sallam, said, translation reads, Aisha, the matter is too severe for them to look at one another.
Sheikh said that, rahmatullah alayh, that the sun will draw near, and this is the proof from the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam.
Al-Miqdad ibn Aswad reported, I heard Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam say, on the day of resurrection, the sun will draw so close that it will only be the distance of a mil from them. That's probably where he got mile from, but I'm not saying that that's a mile.
That is. So the mil, right, they say is approximately 1,848 dhira, okay, which would be 4,000 meters, which is 1.15 miles, all right, today, as in today's mile. But they also, they say that it could be 1,600 to 1,680 meters, right? So a mile is 1,609 when it comes to meters. In any event, at the end of the day, it's the sun will draw so close that it will only be the distance of a mil. And whether it's 1 mile or 1.15, I mean, nobody can withstand the closeness of the sun. And even on a hot day now, and it's light years away, you still feel the heat of the sun.
Sulaim ibn Amir, the narrator on Al-Miqdad, said, by Allah, I do not know whether he meant by mil the distance traveled on earth or the instrument used for applying khul.
Yeah, the little the applicator that they use for the kuhri, huh? Like an eyeliner thing, right. That's also called a mil.
Nah. The people will be submerged in perspiration according to their deeds, some up to their knees, some to the waist, and some will be bridled in perspiration. While saying this, Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, pointed his hand towards his mouth.
Why won't there be any shade? How do we describe, huh? Right, because everything is level. There's planes of the Qiyamah. Everything is level. There's no markers. There's absolutely nothing anyway that's going to provide any shade, except for the shade that is provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many categories of people are there who will be shaded? Huh?
Seven.
That's just in one hadith. So there are some of the scholars of Islam who have gathered those ahadith to talk about those will be in the shade, and it's approximately 30 when everything is gathered. Wallahu a'lam. I haven't looked at in terms of the authenticity of all of the narrations, but it's definitely more than the seven. The seven are mentioned in that one hadith. The same way we talk about al-ashara al-mubashirina bil-jannah, right? The 10 that have been given the glad tidings of Jannah. Are they the only people, the only companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who have been given the glad tidings of Jannah? No. But because all 10 of them were mentioned in one hadith, and they are the best companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we use that terminology generously to say, right, the 10 who were promised Jannah, even though they are more. So there are 7 who are shaded in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In some narrations, in the shade of his throne on a day when there is no shade except for his shade. So that hadith just mentions those 7. And think about Yani subhanAllah. I mean, as we study this, you should go back to those ahadith and look which category do you fall in. Are you in one of those categories? Because if not, then it's feared that we will be amongst those people who the sun comes that close and the perspiration, as the Prophet ﷺ says, up to their knees, to their waist. Some are bridled. Yani, and the Prophet ﷺ points his mouth, because where does the bridle go? In the mouth, right? And goes. So, yani, subhanAllah, again, the study of the hereafter should not just be a theoretical study so that we know what's going to happen. It should be a study to know and then prepare for that day. Allah musta'an. Fadl Sheikh.
Al-Mizan, the scale, page 87. Scales will be erected, and the deeds of the servant will be weighed.
وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُم فِي جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ. That's the end of Surah Al-Mu'minun.
The translation of the ayah reads, those whose scales are heavy, they are the successful. Those whose scales are light, they are the losers. They are the losers of themselves, remaining in hell timelessly forever.
Okay, so we have several issues here as well. The scales will be erected, and the deeds of the servants will be weighed. Several issues here. Number one, the scales will be erected. The scholars differ about, are there scales or is there a scale? And the opinion of the majority of Ahl Sunnah is that there's one scale that has two pans. There's one scale that has two pans. Reason why in the Quran, like here, من خفت موازينه, موازين, which is plural for mizan, they say that the reason why sometimes it's mentioned in the Quran, plural, is to مناسبت ما يوزن. So, I forgot a way to say that. So that it corresponds to what is being weighed, which are many things, right? So there are many things that are being weighed. It's not just the deeds of the servant that will be weighed, though that is part of what is weighed. The evidence from the Sunnah also indicates that scrolls will be weighed and that the people themselves will be weighed. Tell you. The evidence that deeds are weighed is much. But let me just ask you this. What are some of the things that you know weigh heavy on the scales? Again, our study here is not just to know, okay, there's a scale, there's two pans. It's so that we think about, how do I make my scale of good deeds heavy? Fadl. Tayyib. So the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is heavy on the scales. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kalimatani khafifatani ala lisan, ثقيلتاني في الميزان حبيبتاني إلى الرحمن سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. Right? So there are two statements that are light on the tongue, heavy on the scales, beloved to Ar-Rahman. They are سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. كم فرطنا. I mean, how many times you're riding in your car and you're saying nothing at all, and you could be saying سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. Right? You go to the doctor's office, and we used to live in Medina, and there was the sign. It would say, "في دقائق الانتظار شغل لسانك بالاستغفار" or something like that. Yani, while you're waiting, just do istighfar, basically. Yani, the point is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala weighs heavy on the scales. And I mean, there's many other hadith that point to that. You think about the hadith of Juwayriya, radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, when she prayed Fajr and she sat there and she was doing dhikr all the way up until the sun came up, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam came back and he said, "You've been in this state since I left?" And she said, "Yes." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, I've said four things three times. Had it been weighed against what you said, it would have outweighed what you said this entire time. Right? And who knows what that is? All right, go ahead.
Subhanallah bihamdihi, adad khalqihi, wa ridha nafsihi, wa zinat arshihi, wa midad kalimat.
Ahsant. Jazakallah khair. Subhanallah bihamdihi, adad khalqihi, wa ridha nafsihi, wa zinat arshihi, wa midad kalimat. And he, Prophet ﷺ said that three times. He said that saying that three times outweighed whatever it is that you said from Fajr all the way up until the sun came up. The point is that there are specific adhkar that the Prophet ﷺ would make. This also is indicative of the importance of learning the prophetic way of dhikr and the prophetic way of calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not negate that you will call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your needs and from your heart, right? And in that sense, right, what you are saying takes precedent over some formula, right, that might be out there. But there's nobody who called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking him for anything better than what the Prophet ﷺ asked him for. So the point is, dhikr is one of those things that weighs heavy on the scales. What else? What else? There's a proof that the scrolls themselves are weighed. Huh?
What kind of scrolls?
The scrolls that your deeds are written on, right? Deeds are written on scrolls. Now, huh? Fasting weighs heavy on a scale. What's your proof? The Hadith al-Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will record what the son of Adam does, and he 10 times to 700 times over, except for fasting, because it's for me, so it shows that it would be even more than 700 times, perhaps. Anything else? Like, it's your proof. I'm not guessing here. So listen, the hadith is called Hadith al-Bitaqa, right? Where the man was shown 99 scrolls, right? All of them filled with bad deeds, and he thought he would be destroyed. And then they brought out the Bitaqa, right? Just a card. It's not even a scroll, right? Of good deeds. Say la ilaha illallah on it, and it outweighed his bad deeds, right? So the scrolls themselves are weighed, and la ilaha illallah weighs heavy on the scale, and there are other ahadith that indicate that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and I want you all to take this to heart. Ma min shay athqala fil mizan min husnil khuluq. Min husnil khuluq. That there is nothing, the hadith of Abu Darda, radiallahu anhu, that there is nothing that is heavier on the scales than good character. Being good to people. Being good to people. SubhanAllah. It's so important that we remind each other of that, because you can get very caught up into formalities and get rigid and forget to be good to people. And you won't get another chance to be good to people, subhanAllah. Sometimes the last interaction that you have with that person is the last interaction that you have with that person. Wallahu musta'an. Tayyib. Following a janaza, right? It's heavy on the scales. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that to pray over the janaza is the reward of a qiraat. Right? And then if you follow to the end of the burial, then that's qiratan, right? So two qirats, each one like Mount Uhud, which is not one mountain, by the way. It's not just one mountain. Mount Uhud is a range. So these things are heavy on the scales. Also, we have to be very conscious about doing the things that will deplete the reward and take away from your scales. And one of the most important of those is the opposite of good character, which is what? Bad character, oppressing people. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions, "Atadruna min al-muflis?" "Atadruna min al-muflis?" Do you know who the muflis is? The bankrupt person. They said that's the person who does it amongst us who does not have any wealth, doesn't have a dirham, no gold, no silver. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The muflis is the one who comes with many deeds like mountains, right? But he has cursed this one. Sefaka dima'a hadha, and he murdered this one, spoke evil about that one. And that these people who have been oppressed will come and take their rights back from him until he has nothing. Khairan. So here, follow Sheikh.
Dua for a heavy mizan before sleeping.
Pay attention to this dua.
I'm going to read the English.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would ask for these five things before going to sleep. He would say, "Kana Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam idha akhadha madja'ahu qala bismillahi wada'tu jambi." Here's the five things he would ask for. Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi wa akhsi shaytani wa fukk rihani wa thaqqil mizani. It's in yellow. Waj'alni fi an-nadiy al-a'la. This hadith of Abu al-Azhar al-Anmari. Fadl Shaykh, iqra.
That Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say upon going to bed at night, "In the name of Allah, I have laid down my side. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. Drive away my devil. Rid me of liability that is indebtedness and sins."
Oh, for example.
For example. "Make my scale heavy and place me in the highest assembly."
Tayyib. This hadith has been narrated by Abu Dawood, Tabarani, and Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim said that it's sahih ala shart al-shaykhin, meaning according, it is authentic according to the conditions that have been laid out by both Bukhari and Muslim. Though that seems to be a bit far-fetched, it has been declared hasan by An-Nawawi and Ibn Hajar, and Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala said the hadith sahih. I want to read something that Al-Manawi rahmatullah alayhi says in Faid al-Qadir. He said, طيب, get to the part. طيب. قال وهذا دعاء يجمع خير الدنيا والآخرة. Listen what he said. He said this dua combines the good of this life and the next life. فتتأكد المواظبة عليه كلما أريد النوم. He says, so it is highly emphasized that a person is consistent in saying this every time he wants to go to sleep. تتأكد المواظبة عليه كلما أريد النوم وهو من أجل الأدعية المشروعة عنده على كثرتها. He said that this is one of the أجل جليل du'as that a person can make before going to sleep, even though there are many du'as that have been narrated the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would say before going to sleep. He says this is من أجلها. I don't even know how to translate جليل. Sheikh Hanif. Huh?
Most wonderful.
Wonderful. There we go. MashaAllah. Yeah, wonderful. Magnificent du'as. So again, let's just practice this together. Wallahi, if we just walked away today with just this, and we said this from now until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes our souls, then this would be something beautiful, right, to learn. So obviously, you start off with the Basmalah. So Bismillahi wada'tu jambi. Right? Tayyib. Which means what? Wada'a means to put down something. Wada'tu jambi is my side, so I'm putting down my side. Okay? Bismillahi wada'tu jambi. So you're laying down in the name of Allah. Right. Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi. Tayyib. That one comes in so many du'as that is pretty much familiar, right? So that's the first request, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you for your sins. Right? And we noticed, and we've talked about this before, that the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the removal of those sins. And sins are an obstacle, right? They prevent the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from coming to you. They create a barrier between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you'll find that many du'as will start off with Allahumma ghfir before we get to rahma and everything else that you're asking for, because you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove any barriers that would be preventing the rest of his mercy from coming to you. So Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi wa akhsit shaytani. The akhsit is ib'ad, to drive away your shaytan, because everybody has a shaytan. وَأَخْسِئْ شَيْطَانِي, right? Drive away that shaitan. Keep him away from me. Keep him away from me. All right? طيب, اللهم اغفر لي ذنبي وَأَخْسِئْ شَيْطَانِي. طيب, وَفُقْ رِهَانِي. طيب, so, الرهن, right? Just so we're clear. Rahin. Does anybody know what that means? Yeah. You know the hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, مات ودرعه مرهون عند يهودي. And when the Prophet ﷺ died, and his armor, if you will, or his shield, was marhoon with the Jewish person. It was collateral. Okay, it was used as collateral. So a rahin is a collateral. Well, here, when you give somebody something, right, and you take something in return, then you become liable, right, for giving that thing back to them, right? Because in fact, the only reason why you're using that as collateral is because they don't fully trust. Even if they do fully trust you, sometimes it feels good to have something in hand, be able to hold that other person accountable for. Fukari hani, right, is to rid me, to remove any of my liabilities, right? So here it says indebtedness, something that you may owe somebody, but even your sins weigh you down. So removing those sins as well. This is what the scholars of hadith have mentioned in this particular place here. وَفُقَّرِ هَانِي. Repeat.
وَفُقَّرِ
هَانِي. طيب. اللهم اغفر لي ذنبي وأخسئ شيطاني وَفُقَّرِ هَانِي. طيب. Next. And this is the point why I was mentioned here. وَثَقِّلْ مِيزَانِي. وَثَقِّلْ مِيزَانِي. Right? Which means from thaqil, to make my scales heavy. Okay, to make my scale heavy. It is understood when you ask to make the scale heavy that it's talking about good deeds. Right. وَجَعَلْنِي, say it, وَجَعَلْنِي فِي النَّدِيِّ الْأَعْلَى. Right, there's a shadda on the ya. النَّدِيِّ الْأَعْلَى. وَجَعَلْنِي فِي النَّدِيِّ الْأَعْلَى. The highest assembly, the Nadi al-A'la refers to al-Mala'u al-A'la min al-Mala'ika. Right? The highest assembly of the angels that are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَعَلْنِي فِي النَّدِي الْأَعْلَى. You want to be in their company. طيب,
so higher than that?
لا, with فِي النَّدِي الْأَعْلَى, يعني with them basically. In the highest assembly. طيب. Next. Follow Sheikh.
Ad-Diwaween, the records, page 88. The accounts, and this is where my that is, comes in, it-esti. The records of deeds will be unfolded. Some will take theirs with their right hands, and some with their left, or behind their backs. Allah glorious and most has said, Bil-Arabiya.
وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا.
We have fastened the destiny of every man about his neck, and on the day of rising, we will bring out a book for him, which he will find spread over in front of him. Read your book. Today, your own self is reckoner enough against you.
طيب, so there are several issues here. One, we're talking about the accounts, the records of deeds. It says that they will be unfolded. Some will take theirs with their rights and some with their left. So, number one, how are those deeds recorded? Who recorded them? What deeds are recorded? Okay, this is an issue, right? So we need to know who's recording them, what's being recorded. Who takes it with the right hand? Who takes it with the left? It says, or behind their backs, right? That could also be read and behind their backs. The left hand behind their backs. Yes. Also, what does it mean that we have fastened the destiny of every man to his neck? What does this mean, right? So these are some of the things that we're going to go through. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Fadda Shaykh.
Deeds fastened to one's necks.
This is volume 5 of the translation of Tafsir al-Sa'di, page 269.
Here Allah tells us of the perfect nature of His justice, for each person's deeds are fastened to his neck. In other words, everything that he does, good or evil, Allah will cause it to adhere to him.
To stick to him, right? It sticks to him, yeah.
And not go to anyone else.
Yes.
So that he will not be brought to account for the deeds of anyone else. And no one else will be brought to account for his deeds.
Even in English, don't we have idiomatic phrases we talk about? The neck, huh?
Like your neck's on the line.
My neck's on the line, right? He's on my neck, on my top, right? I mean, just when it's on your neck, that's it. It's there, right? It's not going anywhere. So here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the deeds being fastened to the neck, right? It means that everything you do, good or evil, is sticking to you. It's not going to anybody else. And whatever somebody else did sticking to them, it's not coming. It's not coming to you. And on the day of resurrection, we will bring forth for him a record of his deeds, which he will find spread wide open for them. And in it?
And in it will be everything that he did, good or evil, small or great. It will be said to him, read your own record. Sufficient is your own soul as reckoner against you this day. This is the ultimate justice and fairness, that it will be said to the individual, take account of your own self, so that he will acknowledge his wrongdoing that brought the punishment upon him.
All right, we're going to keep reading. Who records man's deeds? Father, this is from Sharh al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah. Father.
We believe in the honorable angels that note down our deeds. Allah has appointed them to keep watch over us. Allah has referred to these angels in various verses. For example, but verily over you are appointed angels to protect you, kind and honorable, writing down your deeds. They know and understand all that you do.
يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Many of the scholars mention here that they know what you do, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also given them knowledge of what is in your heart. Okay? So they even write down the sincerity of the action versus insincerity and the actions of the heart. Your hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Your fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that ya'lamuna ma taf'alun, that is part of your action. That is part of your action. And they know that. بَلَا وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ إِنَّ رُسُلَنَا يَكْتُبُونَ مَا يَمْكُرُونَ. That our angels write down what they are يَمْكُرُونَ, which is scheming and plotting, which doesn't necessarily refer to something that is apparent. Right? طيب, follow.
Behold, two guardian angels appointed to note his doings. Watch and note them. One sitting on the right and one on the left. Not a word does he utter, but there is a sentinel by him ready to note it. For each such person, there are angels in succession before and behind him.
These are all ayats from the Quran, by the way, which you can see in the parentheses afterwards.
They guard him by the command of Allah.
So that's Surah Ra'd, the 11th ayat. Nah.
Or do they think that they will hear not their secrets and their private counsels? Indeed, we do. And our messengers are by them to record. This, our record, speaks about you with truth. For we were wont to put on record all that you did. Verily, our messengers record all the plots that you make.
Tell you, so who records the deeds? Huh? The angels. The angels record the deeds. What gets recorded? Father.
What gets recorded?
Nah.
On the authority of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from what he has related from his Lord. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala has written down the good deeds and the evil deeds, and then explained it by saying, whoever intended to perform a good deed, but did not do it, then Allah writes it down with himself as a complete good deed. And if he intended to perform it, and then did not perform it, then Allah writes it down with himself as from 10 good deeds up to 700, up to many times multiplied. And if he intended to perform an evil deed, but did not do it, then Allah writes it down with himself as a complete good deed. And if he intended it estigen, that is, the evil deed, and then performed it, then Allah writes it down as one evil deed from the Sahih of Abu Khari and Muslim, rahimahullah.
Tayyip, so what gets written down?
Intentions.
Okay, intentions. Uh-huh.
Your good intentions. Because the bad intentions don't get... Well, actually, they do get written down. They get written down as a good
intention. Type, so we're going to... Let's just... Let's not get all muddled yet. Okay, intentions. What else?
Actions.
Uh-huh. Anything else?
Things you don't do.
Okay, so let's rephrase that. Okay, because there's a difference between the intentions and decisions. Okay, we've talked about this before. There's a difference between intention and decision. Decision is once you actually decided. Intention is like, okay, I'm thinking about this action, okay, and I want to do it. The decision is now you've come up with an actual plan, right? You move beyond just the thought, okay, and you've actually come up with a plan. So, for the example of that would be you hear something great about Salatul Duha. And how important it is and how you should pray. And so right now you're thinking, yeah, that's good. I want to do that. Okay, that's somewhat, you know, you're moving along the lines of an intention. The decision is tomorrow after Salatul Fajr, right? You say, okay, I'm going to sit down in the masjid until the sun comes up. And I'm going to read Quran, I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to pray Salatul Duha. Even though you haven't done it yet. This is you've made a decision at that point. Clear? Okay.
This is referring to which one? The intention, not the decision.
I'm sorry, say it again.
This is referring to which, the intention or the decision?
No, that's a decision. This hadith. Inna Allah katab al-hasanat wa sayyat. Thumma bayyana dhalika fa man hamma bi hasana. Right. Falam ya'malha. كتبه الله عنده حسنة كاملة وإن هم بها فعملها كتبه الله عنده عشر حسنات إلى سبعمائة ضعف كثيرة وإن هم بسيئة. So here he's talking about الهم, which is decision making. Okay, so oftentimes the when the scholars talk about the level of they talk about مراحل, the different stages of what brings an action from a thought to fruition. Right, they go through that process. So there's the thought, which is the khatira, right? That's just like something came across your mind. In fact, I don't want to go too deep into this, but when we talk about what is one of the main ways to achieve istiqama, right, being upright, being resolute on the path of guidance, the first step is hiv and hirasat al khawatir, is that you guard your thoughts, right? Because then thoughts turn into what? Well, before they turn into actions, right? Let me rephrase this. You guard fleeting thoughts, okay? Because your fleeting thoughts are those things, they come to your mind, you saw something, made you think about something, and then it's over. Right, a lot of times you don't control the fleeting thought. You do control whether you entertain it or not. Right, so that's the part now. So now, if you start entertaining this thought, then it may become an intention. Right, whereas now you're actually considering, right, doing this thing. That then becomes a ham. A ham is tarjih al fi'l ala adamihi. That's the definition of explanation of what a ham is. When is so here it says intends, which is why it gets a little tricky in the English, right? So there's a difference between you kind of being between in the middle, right, and then actually deciding to do something. That's where the writing, yeah.
So if I decide to do a sin, I'm on my way to do it, but I stop.
Okay, so if you decide to do a sin, and you're on the way, you're in the process of committing that sin, but you don't actually commit it, then we look at what stopped you. And this is what it's talking about here. If he intended to perform an evil deed, but did not do it, then Allah writes it down with himself as a complete good deed. He did not do it. Why? because he remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he didn't, he was on the way to do the sin, he got a flat tire and he just couldn't commit the sin, then it's not written down for him as a good deed. But that's it's a long story for a different day. So what does get recorded? If we want to use the word intentions here for decisions, if that's what's understood, then alhamdulillah, we can use that. So you have intentions to do good or intentions to do evil, right? If a person intends to do good, then that's written down for him as a good deed. And if he carries it out, right, and he actually does the action, then that is multiplied for him. That's written down, and it's multiplied for him. It's 10 to 700 times. If a person intends to do an evil deed, and he leaves it off for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's written for him as a good deed. If he carries out the evil deed, then it's written down for him as it was recorded. It is not multiplied in number the way that the good deeds are multiplied. And then there's a lot of tafsir that goes, or details that go under that. But we're not going to get to the end if we don't keep it moving. Wallahu musta'an. Fadhil Shaykh.
Distribution and reception. Left.
So left meaning what? Left hand. Because Shaykh al-Islam, as he says here, the records of deeds will be unfolded. So now we understand what these records of deeds are. Okay? They're recording your actions. The angels are recording your actions. They're recording your decisions that you've made as well. Some will take some people will take their books with their right hands, and some will take it with their left hands behind their backs. Now, follow.
But anyone who is given his record in his left hand will say, if only I had never been given any record. But anyone who is given his record behind his back will cry out for his own death.
Yeah. So, the scholars mentioned that this is appropriate for the one who has turned their back on the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they would get their own book, right, behind their back. And in their left hand. Fadha.
Right. Anyone who has given his book in his right hand will say, here, take my book and read it. Surely, I expected that I would meet my reckoning.
Al-haqqah. Tayyib, subhanAllah. Again, inni dhanantu anni mulaqin hisabiyah. I expected that I would meet my reckoning. That is what propelled this person with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tawfiq to do what? Prepare for that day. And so that preparation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's leave led them to getting their book in their right hand.
As for him who is given his book in his right hand, he will have an easy settlement and will return to his family delighted.
Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who receive their books in their right hand. Tayyib. There's much more that can be said about this, but the point here to follow along with the book itself is that some will receive their books in their left hand, while the other will left. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not make us from amongst them, and others will receive their books with their right hands. Now,
Al-Hisab, the reckoning.
Tayyib, so far we've covered what today? Before the Dawaween. The Naam, Al-Ba'ath, right? Which is the resurrection. And then the Mizan. And then the Dawaween. And what is the Mizan?
Scale.
Okay. What's the dua to make your scales heavy? Bismillahi wada'tu jambi. Allahumma ighfirli dhanbi. That should be easy because it's rhyming, right? I mean, jambi and dhanbi. Bismillahi wada'tu jambi. Allahumma ighfirli dhanbi. Wa akhsi' shaytani. What's akhsi' shaytani mean? Ib'ad. Get him away from me. Wa fukka rihani. Wa thaqqil mizani. Wa ja'alni. And then we covered Ad-Dawaween. And what's important here, subhanAllah, and I know, so I'm going to stop and not go so that we can pray on time, inshallah. We'll cover Hisab and the the hold of the Prophet alayhi salatu was salam, and the sirat and the shafa'ah next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. But let me just say this, because I think that this is it's very important when we think about the our deeds and our accounts. Part of your iman in the hereafter also includes your iman in the angels, right? If you're not shy of yourself, at least be shy of the angels that are with you. And keep that in mind. There's a lot of times, and I think this is also an important point to emphasize, you know, with children in general, right? It's not about me watching you. A lot of children, they won't do stuff in front of their parents, which is a good thing. They shouldn't, right? And we make them feel like we're always watching them, instead of making that connection between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is actually always watching them. Your children are going to do things that you're not going to know about. You can't watch them all the time. It's not simple. You're not al-basir, subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So connecting them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reminding them that they have angels with them, that they don't see, but the angels see them, they see their deeds, and they're recording their deeds. And this is something that you should instill from a very early age. And each one of us should recognize that and be shy of those angels whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed, and to write down our deeds. Wallahu musta'an. Do you have any questions about what we covered today? Sheikh, was there anything that came up? I know sometimes you said those questions come through. Now.
So about the hadith with the intentions, what about the opposite? When somebody intends to do a good, does it matter why he didn't do it? What if he changed his mind? He didn't want to do it anymore.
Even that. So if a person intends to do good and they were prevented from doing that good by something stopped them from doing that good, it's written as if they did the good in its entirety, right? So you think about the example of a person who is left work one time to go to Jumu'ah, okay? And it was a major accident on the highway and they got stuck and they couldn't make it to Jumu'ah. It's written for them that they made Jumu'ah, because they not only made the decision, they took the necessary action to complete whatever it is that they were trying to do, but they were prevented from doing so. So that's written for them as if they did it completely. If a person intended to do a good deed and they just, for example, they were going to pray, duha, and they just... they got busy and decided not to do it. It's written for them a good deed for the intention. But it's not written for them that they prayed Salat al-Duha. If they miss Jumu'ah, I still have to pray Dhuhr. But in terms of what's written for them, right? What's written for them. Sorry?
Like the blessings of
God. Yes. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك